Welcome to the Elevate Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Hanlon, an American branding photographer and brand strategist living abroad in Stockholm, Sweden. After spending 7 years building a brand and business abroad, I realized that many expat entrepreneurs have a hard time navigating their new life in another country. And I want to show you how you can pave your own path when it seems like all the obstacles are in your way. I feel so deeply that people need to hear the stories of entrepreneurs living abroad. Their stories need to be heard and shared so that we can help people who are struggling to find work or want to start a business to feel inspired by the stories of entrepreneurs who are actually doing the work. Get ready to go on a worldly journey with me, where you'll hear of inspiring stories from global entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and business owners paving their own path and following their dreams wherever they are in the world, so that you can be inspired to do the same thing too. Whether you're a small business owner or an inspiring entrepreneur, I want to help you find your path, because when you elevate yourself, you elevate others around you. So come along and join us for inspiring stories, brand tips, and business growth tools to help you elevate yourself. You're listening to episode 15 of the Elevate Podcast. Hi there, I hope you are doing well. I can finally say that spring is here in Sweden, and let me tell you, it has been a long winter. And so I'm feeling really inspired and excited for spring. And yeah, the vibe is just feeling really excited lately. So I have a couple of updates happening in my world, and I want to share it with you before we start getting into the show with Gunjan. So one, I have rebranded my online course and the course name, which feels really good. And you know, rebranding a course is a big deal, a big task. And I've been wanting to do this for a really long time, but I just felt like I was overwhelmed with the thought of doing it. And now I'm so glad that I did, because I realized that the course was just so good. And renaming it also gave me more confidence to actually sell the course. So it's funny how a course name can really affect the way you feel about something. So I went from Boss Up Your Selfie to Snapped for Social. Okay, Snapped for Social is for the entrepreneur who wants to learn how to grow your standout brand, make an impact, and take photos and video for your business with your smartphone or your DSLR so that you can grow your visibility online and attract your dream customers. Now, I get a lot of questions from friends, entrepreneurs who have a fancy DSLR camera and they don't know how to use it. And I'm going to tell you what, once you understand how your DSLR works, I promise you, you'll never want to go back to taking photos with your mobile phone, but I do show you how to use your smartphone. So if you own a business or want to be influential, then you know that you need to put yourself out there and build a personal brand online. And maybe you know how good your service is, but the only thing that's really missing is clients to fill them. But it's time to get visible and let the world know that you exist. Sometimes we struggle with our branding because we lack clarity or we feel insecure about how to take your own photos and video to show what we do, or how to even get started with building a personal brand. But what if you could have the best of both worlds? A brand shoot that shows off your brand and know how to take and create your own content for your business. This is what I'm going to show you how to do in Snap for Social. And this is why I created this course. I'm going to add a link into the show notes so that you can check it out. And I really do hope that you are inspired to take action, to grow your visibility, and sign up for the course, because I know that this course will transform the way you show up on social media. We go through mindset. We also learn how to become the main character of our brand and show up and allow people to see us. And, and I also realized I forgot to mention this. We are having a visibility challenge. When you sign up for the course, this is a part of the course. You're going to get signed up for the visibility challenge, where we are going to inspire each other to show up and start attracting those dream customers. Because I promise you, if you show up and you start sharing your message and, tell people what you do, I promise you, you will get people in your DMs asking you about your services. Okay. So this is what I'm really passionate about, is like helping you build your business and your brand, because I know what it's like to start out with very few clients and not know how to get them. And I'm going to show you how to do that in my online course. But anyways, this is really just to let you know about what's going on in my world. And I'm really excited about this. And I really do want to help support you. So if you join the course, you're going to get access to the Visibility Challenge. But now let's get into the interview with Gunjan Churiwal, who went from sending 100 job applications to running her own social media and copywriting company. She is such a great example of somebody paving her own path, and I really love her energy and her personality. She is a really cool girl, and I've hung out with her here in Stockholm, and I'm so excited to share her story, and hopefully you will find inspiration from her, and maybe she can even help you as well. So let's get into the conversation. Hi, Gunjan, and welcome to the show. I'm excited to share your story today, and your story is something that I've heard time and time again from many expats living in Sweden. And I can't say if this story is the same for other countries, but I would be curious to know from our listeners if this is also the case for where you are. And that is going through dozens of interviews only to be told, sorry, you're not qualified enough. And it's not because you're not qualified, but rather you don't have an established network or your language skills are not good enough. So, which is what you went through, Gunjan, right? And so I really do want to share this story because I've seen in a lot of Facebook groups for expats that they have the same story. And I think what you did for yourself, which was to kind of make your own path and do something for yourself instead of waiting for the opportunity to come, I want to share your story and let somebody to be like get inspired by you and your story. So, Gunjan, how did you end up in Sweden?
Okay. The first more important question. So basically, I came here in November 2019. I joined my husband. So when we were back in India, we were still dating. He was thinking of moving abroad for his studies, and we were looking at different options. And Sweden looked like a dream to us because of welfare state and because of the innovation going here. So we thought, why not Sweden? That's when he applied to the university here, Karolinska, and he got accepted in the master's program. So he came here in 2019 and I joined him a year later in 2020. Sorry, he came here in 2018 and joined him in 2019.
Okay. So you came for your boyfriend. And what was it like when you first moved to Sweden? Did you feel like, wow, this is so different than where I'm from?
Yes, definitely. I think I came here in November, and if people know that how the Swedish winters are, they know it's not that good. So being from a tropical country, I was getting used to adjusting to the weather here, and also to the fact that I literally knew no one except for my husband. So it was quite challenging for me in the sense like I did not have a network, or I didn't have friends for that matter. But I would say that eventually the country grew on me, and I love it here now.
Yeah. So did you reach out to people that were, you know, there are different like Facebook groups and things. Did you go looking for a network in Sweden just to meet people in the beginning, or did that take time for you to kind of figure out?
I think that happened pretty quickly because it was actually through my husband's friend that someone recommended this group called Girl Girl International, which is a Facebook group for expat women or for locals who consider themselves as internationals. So I think that group was very instrumental in forming new friendships here. So that has been good for me.
And do you think it's important to put yourself out there right away, especially if you're on your own in a new country? I mean, it can be quite lonely, right?
It is also, it depends upon what kind of personality you have. For me, I have been like always surrounded by my circle of friends, and I'm someone who loves going out and meeting people. So for me, it was like very important for my personality type that I put myself out there. And so I started doing that, and it really helped me as well.
Great. No, but I mean, I think that it's really important to do that because I know just from my own experience that it can be quite lonely. And I mean, my husband is Swedish, so I did have like a Swedish group to go to, but I felt like it was also very important for me to have my own network, not just only to rely on my husband's network of friends. So for me, it was like, okay, I need to meet new people. And so I also put myself out there and tried to network and just get out there and meet people. So, but what was it like then when you first moved here? Did you try to look for a job right away?
That's right. So when I moved, like even before I was planning to move to Stockholm, I was like sure that I want to end up getting a job. So when I moved here, I immediately got onto it. I started sending my applications. I started working on my CV, the cover letter. And so I think it's, yeah, it's immediately after I moved here. So the first 1 year was completely about job hunting. I was just sending in applications like day in, day out. That was a completely like a full-time role for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I was thinking the same thing when I came here. I moved from Belgium and I had two little kids. And so for me, I was like, gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea like who's going to hire me, things like that. So it can kind of feel like a little bit intimidating. Right. But tell me, what's your background in? You're working with social media marketing?
Yes, that's right. So basically, I did my bachelor's back in India. And then I went to UK to study fashion and luxury brand management. Then I went back to India and I was working for brands with their digital strategies. So I'm a social media marketer and also a content creator and writer. So I have been doing that all my life. Like marketing is something that I would say like comes naturally to me because I'm really very passionate about the field. And I'm like, I would even say like I'm one of those like marketing geeks or nerds, as you call them. So I have been doing that. And that is what I was looking at also when I was looking for a job, something in the field of marketing.
Okay. So tell me, what was your experience like when you were applying for all these jobs? I mean, did you get interviewed often?
Oh, no, not at all. So when I was applying for jobs, I was initially applying to like Swedish companies mostly. And though it was never spelled out to me, but I understood like the language is, of course, a barrier and also not having a local network who would recommend me to this company. So that was quite challenging. But eventually I was like, okay, maybe I can start applying to companies which are a bit international. So I was doing that and I was doing it for one complete year before I kept getting rejections. I think I applied to more than 200 roles and I hardly got screened by any one of them. But then it was this one international company, which is actually based somewhere in Asia, but they have a presence in the Nordics. I thought like, okay, it looks like a good match. So I went ahead and I got shortlisted. I even ended up getting 3 interviews with them. So I was finally sure like, okay, I'm going to crack the role. So I was pretty optimistic. But it's after the 3rd interview, I got an email rejection saying that I was not selected because I don't have a local network and I don't speak the language. So that was like kind of a tipping point for me. And it was also very unusual because they never mentioned the requirements for this. You know, I already went through 3 rounds and I did not they did not discuss this one throughout the whole 3 rounds. So that was kind of a shock and tipping point that no more, I can't do it anymore.
Did you go to SFI to learn Swedish or did you try to learn Swedish?
I did, but before I could like, you know, get to the level where I would actually crack those, it would be very difficult. And also something that I didn't mention, which is very important, that this was all happening during the pandemic. So as I mentioned, I moved here just in November 2019 and, you know, like March 2020, it was declared a pandemic. So I was going through all this. So in addition to being an international, not knowing the language and the pandemic, I was still looking for a job. So that has been really difficult. And as with SFE, I was going for their classes, physical classes. When I moved here, I started it in January. But then the pandemic happened and everything was on hold. And eventually I started taking their online classes.
And how was that for you? Was that hard?
Oh my God, let's not even get there because I think even in person, it's so difficult. And now move everything online was a really challenging time.
Yeah, I tried to, well, I also went to SFE, as I guess they say it. And for me, I mean, I understood Swedish. I could understand it, but the speaking part was difficult. Mm-hmm. And also because there were so many people from all over the world, some people couldn't even communicate with me, you know, in English. So right. I sat next to a Russian girl, which was, she was super nice, but she couldn't speak any English. So when we were trying to communicate in Swedish, it was like really bad. Like we couldn't even like, you know, understand each other. Oh, it just God. Didn't work. And so I was like really frustrated with the whole system. And I felt like this doesn't work for me. So I actually stopped going and I haven't taken classes since. And really my comprehension is there, but the speaking part, it's still a struggle for me. But luckily, like most of my clients, they know that I am not promoting myself in Swedish. Right. So I don't lie about it, that my Swedish is great or anything. But I work with companies that are international and I'm able to communicate with English, which is great. But also, you know, it's hard when you don't speak the language because there are opportunities that you do miss out on if you don't have that language skill. So that is like mastering the language is like a full-time job probably, right? I mean,
yeah.
So yeah. Okay, so at what point did you say to yourself, I need to change something here because like you said, I can't do this anymore. This is really frustrating.
I think I have one of those mindsets which you call like a privilege mindset. I was listening to this podcast by Stephen Bartlett and they discussed this. And when I heard it, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like me. So in spite of the pandemic, in spite of everything that was going on in the world, I was still like very hopeful. So as I mentioned, I kept doing on like applying for roles for one whole year. But I think this particular rejection was the tipping point because it was an international company. I went like 3 rounds of interviews and everything seems great to me. So ultimately, it eventually boiled down to the language barrier and my network. But at the same time, I am someone already have experience and skill sets. As I mentioned, like I have my degree from UK, I have my work experience and I have my skill sets. So I was thinking like, why am I wasting all of that? And there was like a certain realization that like time is non-refundable. I'm not going to get back all this time that I'm wasting on looking for a job. And also I just became more mindful about my time and intentional. And that's when I decided to take things in my own hand. And also something else which was more instrumental was mentorship programs. So I am like, I'm very big fan of mentors. So there is one initiative called Eric Doran, which is run, which is basically a mentorship program where they matches, where they match you with someone in your field, basically a job seeker with a mentor. So I was a part of that program. And through that program, I met Sarah, my mentor, and she was all about getting rid of the CV mindset. And I think that really helped me because working with her, we started working on my portfolio, on developing my website. And that's when I started to work as a freelancer.
Oh, that's really interesting. So was this like a mentorship in Sweden?
Yeah, it's in Sweden and it's basically, it's like, it's called Eriksdoran, if I'm pronouncing it right, that means like a door opener. So basically they open the door for a expat or an international to a local person in your field. So this is primarily targeted to job seekers. And I was doing that when I was still looking for a job. But also it depends upon how your relationship with your mentor evolves. And that is what happened with us. And eventually we decided, okay, it's better for me to work on my own brand or on my own freelancing work rather than concentrating on looking for work.
I'm curious about this CV, like get rid of the CV concept. And I actually heard somebody talking about this on a podcast. And it's somebody that I met in person in Chicago. She's a brand expert. And she basically said the CV will probably be gone soon. And people need to work on building a personal brand versus trying to just hand in some piece of paper that says your credentials. Instead, show people what you can do. And I think that is where we're going. So I'm curious to hear a little bit more about getting rid of that like mindset about the CV.
I think like with the CV mindset, it's mostly around chasing, like you're chasing companies, you're chasing the clients, but versus if you're talking about a personal brand, it's more like attracting. You are attracting the right kind of people to you, whether it's the right kind of employer or whether it's right kind of clients if you are like an entrepreneur. So I think that shift was very important for me because it was always about, okay, I can't do this for you, or look, this is what I have done in the past. But it was not about like, what do you say? It was more, not, it was more about for you, but not like together. So I think that is what had a shift in my mindset about like attracting the right kind of people that I want to work with.
Mm, yeah. So how did you get started with your company? Was that tricky? Did you find that part difficult? Like, because I know in Sweden, you have to set it up with the Skatteverket. Did you do that on your own, or did they help you, this company that you were using as a mentorship?
So this mentorship program was different. So I just started working with Sarah and then worked on my website. But I was working as a freelancer for one whole year before I decided to register my own company. So I started the freelancing work in 2021, and it's only last year that I registered my company. So something that I haven't mentioned is that I have actually two businesses. So when I'm working as a marketer, when you registered your work, your company as a service provider, then it's pretty easy, I would say. And plus, I'm like a sole trader, so it's not too much work. But my other company, it deals in everyday sustainable bags, and it's a product-based company, and you need a VAT number. So that was quite difficult for me, getting the VAT to show that I will be able to make this much money or this much in the next few months when I'm actually not there in the business, right? So that was tricky. But I had other help with like Nifo Ortega Centrum helping me with this. So eventually that got sorted out.
Okay. And so how did you get your first paying client?
Okay, that's interesting. So initially when I started working as a freelancer, I was doing a lot of free work. So, I mean, this varies. A lot of people will tell that it's good. Some will say it's not good. But for me, I think it was important to at least get the initial clients and also to get like recommendations in that sense and referrals. So when I started as a freelancer, I was doing a lot of that. So I was kind of exchanging services for writing a blog for them or some kind of barter. It was mostly like bartering of like, you know, our trust and skill sets. So this particular nail studio that I worked with initially, it was a collaboration, and eventually she wanted those Instagram highlight covers. So I designed that, and it was like hardly 150 kronas. So that was my first client. But but also it gave me the confidence that your people see worth and they are willing to pay. And I would say like to eventually crack like a $1,000 client or 10,000, you have to start with like a $10 client. Mm-hmm. And I would say like I have pretty much evolved from there now.
That's amazing though. I mean, that just shows that you're creative and that you didn't just say, okay, why should I like give people free stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, sometimes you have to give something for free for people to just get to experience working with you, to see the value in working with you. And I believe that you should be able to do those things for free and just know that what you do deliver can be turned into, you know, a reference, you know, somebody can give you a recommendation, right? Because those are things that you're showing people, and then it just goes from there. So I do believe that doing things for free it's not just for free. It does pay off in the end. So that's amazing though. I love the story about how you started doing that for a nail company, right? So So now what is like the hardest part of like having a business? Like, have you encountered any difficulties since starting this on your own? Like, have you had any problems or anything that you found difficult?
I think for me, like right now, I'm just a business of one. So that can be quite challenging at times. There is, of course, like the factor of loneliness, like you have no one to bounce off ideas with or discuss things. So that can be pretty challenging. And also, like getting clients, like initially, as I said, so it was like a lot of free work. But now I feel like more settled into my business because one client leads to another. And also I see a difference now. Like initially it was more about showcasing my previous work and case studies and all of that. And now by building my personal brand and having a strong presence, I'm actually attracting those kind of clients to me. So that has been good. But in the initial period, it was quite challenging.
Yeah, it is difficult in the beginning when you start a business because, I mean, we've all been there. We start with zero and we have to start to build something. And even if you don't see it right away, it does happen to build into something. It just takes time. And I think that, you know, it's sometimes people give up too soon, but it just depends on their circumstances. And, you know, not everybody is cut out to be an entrepreneur, to be honest. I mean, I do find it difficult and some people are better off maybe working for a company. But I think until you actually get into a job, you know, sometimes you have to make your own opportunities happen for yourself. So with that being said, like, what is the best part of being your own boss?
I think the freedom, like every kind of freedom that comes to me, like setting my own timelines, or like the financial freedom that comes with me, that is the most amazing thing. Now, when I think back about the time when I was looking for a job and how desperate I was for it, and now when I'm actually an entrepreneur, I was thinking, can I go back to the time where I can be an employee? And I don't think so. I can because,
I know. I feel you on that. I told my husband the same thing. I'm like, gosh, you know, I just don't think I could work for anybody other than myself ever again, because I really do enjoy the flexibility that I have. And I'm also a mom. So for me, my schedule is very strict. I can't work certain hours because I have to be home with them. And my husband's at his job, of course, it could be reversed, but but it doesn't really work like that with his job. So I can feel like, you know, it's important to just make your own schedule and make life work for you. So I think that is definitely the best part. And so do you have any tips for any entrepreneurs who maybe are in the same position as where you were, you know, a couple years ago? And, you know, do you have any tips? I mean, I guess they can take a few things that you've already said, but is there anything else that you'd like to add to that?
Yes, of course. So I would say, like, I speak to a lot of other entrepreneurs and there are a few common questions like I get asked. One is like, how do you financially support yourself in the initial period when you're just building your business? So obviously everyone's situation is very different from each other. Luckily for me, my husband is in a full-time role. So I think that really worked in my favor because then I have the flexibility to experiment. So that's good. But if you are someone who wants to gradually maybe move towards entrepreneurship while you are in a full-time role, so I would say like maybe do it part-time, you know. So have your full-time role and then gradually work on it as like a side hustle and build it up from there before you make the complete transition. And also something that really helped me is building my personal brand. I see especially a lot of women, they are so scared to put themselves out there. But I think it's really important to like overstep that fear and get over that fear by maybe just taking baby steps. And another thing that I would like to say is that there are a lot of help, especially here in Sweden. So something that I haven't mentioned is that I was based in Stockholm and now my husband got a job in Lund. And so we moved here. So, but like all different cities, they have their own communes and a lot of help involved. So when I started off in Stockholm, there is, as I mentioned, Eriksdalen. Then there is Nyföretagar Centrum, which is government run. And there is different programs by Stockholm Stad. One such is like Invest Stockholm. And aside from that, there are a lot of networking groups. One such network group is Business and Dreams, which we are both part of, which is basically targeted to female entrepreneurs. So, and there is more like if you are in some other field, like I see a lot of people in tech, they have like women in tech, AI, or I don't know. So it really depends. So I think just to keep yourself updated about what's happening around you and then just be a part of different network, which is important for your business or for the kind of industry that you are in.
That was a very helpful tip. I mean, all of those are amazing. And I think now that you're in this new city, you can take what you've already learned from being here in Stockholm and apply it to where you are now. So building a network that you can start over again, but you know how to do it now. You're not as, you know, afraid or lost, right? I mean, do you have any plans for going out and meeting new people? And have you already tried to start? I know you just moved, but... Yeah.
it's been 2 weeks, but then I think I'm already onto it. For people like in the Skåne area, there's something called like the Skåne Startups. So I was already there for one of their breakfast meetups. And I think they have it like twice in a month. And there is another one which I'm yet to try out, but I follow them on Instagram. It's called herway.se. So it is... again, like something similar to Business and Dreams, which I spoke about. This is mostly targeted to female entrepreneurs, where there is opportunity for personal growth and business growth and networking. So this is something that I want to try out as well.
Yeah, and I definitely think that if you are trying to build a community or meet new people, definitely go out and network. There's actually an episode on this podcast that I have to remember which number it is, but we talk all about networking and the power of networking, and it really can open new doors for you. So if you're somebody who's really like lost and you don't know what to do, just start networking and start asking people questions, maybe questions that you need answers to, and somebody will always like guide you in the right direction. And I think that's the power of really having a community to go to, right? So yeah. So now I'm curious, what are your plans now? You have your social media and marketing agency. You are one person. Do you think you'd like to expand and hire somebody, or like at least get somebody to help you out so that you can expand? Because I mean, now that you've done the groundwork, the next phase is maybe to try to expand. Or what do you have? What are your goals for 2023?
I would say like expansion is one of them, because I love working in teams, and I really see myself like growing my team in the future. So maybe not right away. So what I'm looking at least outsourcing the task. So I'm trying to bring a videographer on board for social media management clients, where I can outsource like the video editing work. But eventually I would want to be in a place where I can have like full-time employees. So that is what I am looking at. And in terms of goals for 2023, it's just like expanding my business, I would say. So and also like navigating my way in this new city. So it's like more networking, more opportunities like this, like speaking opportunities, and also like just pushing myself out of my comfort zone and doing things that I have not tried before.
Amazing. Well, good luck with everything. And I look forward to following you on your Instagram. Can you tell us how people can find you?
So I am mostly active on two platforms. One is Instagram and one is LinkedIn. So if you search me up by my name, Gunjan.Churiwal, on Instagram, you can find me like Gunjan.Churiwal. And on LinkedIn, it's just Gunjan Churiwal. So those are the two platforms where I'm most active.
And I'll put your last name in the show notes so people can find you.
Of course.
I know it's hard with like our names if they're really complex.
Right.
So yeah, we'll put that in the show notes for you guys to find her. And of course, like, you know, you are helping people with their social media growth, right?
Yes. So I basically work with entrepreneurs or personal brands in building their social media strategies. I also come on board as like a social media manager and create content for them, but mostly through brand storytelling. So the content is mostly focused on about your personal brand and how we can evolve that to attract the right clients to your business. So that is what I do.
Awesome. And yeah, definitely everybody needs to be building a personal brand, even if you don't have a business. Just because we talked about the CV going away, start building your personal brand, build your thought leadership, and put yourself out there and just start making those opportunities happen for you. So thank you, Gunjan, for being on the show and sharing your story. I know that this is going to help somebody, because I think you gave some really amazing tips today. So thank you.
And thank you so much for having me. I was so excited and nervous, but mostly thrilled to do this.
Great. You did great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.